So hello, everybody, and welcome to our vital health topic for the month of October 2020. And we're here to talk about Dutch testing, hormone testing using the Dutch test. I know some of you have already had these tests done, some of you haven't, and a lot of people are curious. So whenever I've gone over these kinds of tests on calls live with people who'd had them done, what happens is people get curious and they want to know, is this a test that I should take for myself? So I'm going to do a presentation about the Dutch test and how it's used to test your hormones, which hormones it can be used to test. And then afterwards, I'll open it up for questions. So I'm going to share my screen. And you should now be seeing my screen. Yes, you are correct. I'm going to start a backup recording just in case. So we'll start up a Camtasia backup recording just in case. New. All right. Should I get that started earlier? Okay, so record. And I will shorten this up so it fits in the window and hit
start. Will these slides be available to us later?
Say that again?
Will these slides be available to us later?
The slides and the recording. So for any of our health topic calls, all of the slides and the recording will always be available to you as long as you're a member.
Thank you.
And they'll be posted. Usually we post them within a couple of days. It just takes a little while to get everything edited and uploaded. All right, so let's start with our talk on hormone testing using the Dutch test. And I found out about this test several years ago. Before that, I was using different ways to test the hormones I'm going to share with you today. And I'll show you what some of those ways were. And I find that this is the most comprehensive test, that this test compiles a bunch of different areas, and there's different options, and I'll share with you what they are. And I find I get a really big picture, a really good picture of what's going on with folks when we do the Dutch test. So before we get started, I want to make sure that you're aware that everything here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. It's just me sharing ways for you to be empowered to take charge of your own health and make decisions and discuss it with your healthcare practitioner if you're on any medications or have been diagnosed with any kind of condition that needs that. And so let's begin. It's all about balance, right? It's all about restoring balance to your body. It's not about diagnosing anything, and it's not about treating or curing anything. It's all about balance. So this test is just part of a functional lab testing panel. And I won't say panel, a group of tests that I do, not every test on every person, but it all depends on what's going on for the particular person. So I do a functional blood chemistry, and just a regular annual exam gives us a lot of information about what's going on in balance with your body in terms of nutrition and your digestion and a lot of stuff, but most Western medicine doctors haven't been trained to really look at them that way. There's the steroid hormone panel, which the Dutch falls into, looking at your steroid hormones, which are your sex hormones and a few others, but also looking at your adrenals. And then, you know, I also, on some people, we do a comprehensive digestive analysis. We'll do an immune system evaluation. We do fatty acids to see how the inflammatory pathways are actually working. Some people, we do an amino acid panel, organic acids, and I'll show you a subset of the full organic acids that the Dutch test actually does. Then there's heavy metal and methylation and genetics. So these are just, I don't run all of these on everybody. It's not indicated to run all of these on everybody. My opinion when it comes to lab testing is you do the minimum tests that you need to get the information that you need. And a lot of the way functional medicine practitioners practice is to just run all these tests the first time you go in the office, $2,000 or $3,000 worth of tests, and then try to address all of it at the same time. I'm of the opinion that we work on the things that look like they need to be worked on. And that's why within the the Empowered Self-Care Lab, I've given you a lot of self-tests that you can do. And I'm not a big fan of a lot of supplements or a lot of testing, only the ones that are warranted for your particular case. And because what happens is if we don't do that, then we're just practicing this for that approaches. And we're just practicing not individualized healthcare, but just like everybody falls into the same category. And I really like to hone it in and save your wallet. Like really, if even if you had $3,000 to spend on all those tests, if you don't have to do them, there's a lot of more fun things you could probably find to do with that $3,000, right? Go on a vacation. But if it's warranted, then absolutely we should be doing them. I like to do them in a systematic approach. Okay, so let's look at the next slide, which is the pieces of the Dutch test. So the Dutch test looks at your adrenals. How are your adrenals looking? What is your cortisol level? What is your DHEA levels? But what are also what's called metabolites? And I want to take a minute to explain what metabolites really mean, because most people don't talk about metabolites when it comes to testing. They just go, okay, what's this level of this cortisol in your blood, right? That's the way MDs are trained to look at the adrenals. Let's look at cortisol and DHEA in your blood, which is a single snapshot of a hormone pattern that actually switches throughout the day. So the adrenal testing part of the Dutch test is actually, in my opinion, far superior to the way we used to do it before the Dutch test came out, which was we looked at saliva at multiple times throughout the day. The reason I like the Dutch test better is because it looks at metabolites. It doesn't look at just one hormone. It looks at a family of hormones. So what exactly is a metabolite? When your body produces hormones from the glands, the various glands in the body and a lot of other places, because hormones are produced from actually every tissue in your body produces some sort of hormone. When those hormones are produced, they actually go through processing in the body, in the liver, in the digestive tract, to actually change their form from what they were produced as and eventually get rid of what's excess, what's after they're used up. And so those metabolites tell us a story. They tell us a story about how safe you are from the negative effects of these hormones. And depending on your genes, you may have a better or lesser capacity to handle these metabolites, which means that if those metabolites build up, which could indicate that there's breakdowns in other pathways in the body, nutrient insufficiencies, detoxification problems, then what happens is your body is at risk for things like cancers and other kinds of conditions that none of us wants, right? Nobody wants to get diagnosed with cancer. And when is the best time to find a cancer is when you're in a situation where you're predisposed, but before it's developed, so that you can change the environment and not get that condition. That's the best. That's what we always strive for and aim for, is to keep this body in a situation where it's robust and can handle a lot. But the truth of the matter is we all get into situations where that doesn't happen. We get into stressful situations emotionally. We get into stressful situations environmentally with toxins in the environment, which we can't control, in the household, which we to a lot of extent can control. We get into trouble with food. And a lot of those other situations cause us to eat more and to binge eat and all that and eat wrong food. So what we're here for in this community is to help you to figure out how to best eat, how to best handle your environment, how to best handle your stressors, how to balance your body in such a way that we don't have to talk about disease. We just talk about, you know, resilience and prevention. So let's get into this in a little more detail. This is a test from a lab we used to use called BioHealth, which actually went out of business at the beginning of this year. And what it was a great test for testing the cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone produced by the adrenals, at multiple times throughout the day, because there's a typical rhythm for how that's produced. And if you're out of that rhythm, it suggests that there's a problem. This is what we used to do, and we also looked at DHEA here. And you can see these lines, the red and the green are the lines that are high and low, right? The low line is green, the high line is red. And what we want to do is follow the pattern and stay in the middle. And you can see this particular person was not following the pattern. Beginning of the day, perfect, and then they dropped down. So this is a form of adrenal insufficiency or adrenal dysfunction. So this is how we used to do it. So with the Dutch test, this is the front page, the summary page of the Dutch test. What I love about the Dutch test is it doesn't just give you numbers, it gives you lots of pictures and graphs. I barely look at the numbers on a Dutch test because I usually don't need to. I do it if I'm going back in to see a ratio between two values, but most of the time I can see that pictorially. And I think most of us, I can speak for myself, but I think from what I've talked to a lot of people, most of us think better and understand better when we can see things in a picture rather than just a bunch of words on the page. For me, a bunch of words on a page can get overwhelming. So the way that this test works is at the top of the test, what you're seeing, I need looking off to the side because my bigger picture is off to the side and that's what you're seeing, is it shows you this graph and then this is just where you should be falling within the lower limit and the higher limit. Ideally, you're in the middle of that range, right? In the ends of either, we're looking at maybe potential issues. On this particular person's test, and this was a male, I believe. I don't think it matters, but I think it was a male. No, it was female. The estrogen was at the high end of the range, but testosterone was below the end of the range, right? And a lot of times, you know, I don't just analyze these tests in a vacuum. I'm asking questions or somebody's filled out questionnaires, you know, so I'm saying, how's your sex drive? How are your menstrual periods, right? Do you have PMS? What kinds of things are going on for you? Are you taking any hormones, right? Are you taking anything? And so this person is a very low testosterone, which I would suspect would be, I work out at the gym, but I can't get my muscles to build, right? I just don't have, you know, I can lift weights, but nothing happens. I don't have any sex drive, right? So things like that. So it gives us an idea. And then down here, it gives us the adrenals, the summary of the adrenals. And you can see, again, it gives you two lines, the high and the low, right? And then the red is you. So this particular person is waking up in the morning, probably has a hard time waking up in the morning because the cortisol level is so low. Right at midday, it peaks, sits right in the middle of the range. So maybe at middle of the day, okay, the energy's starting to come back. And then, you know, afternoon, maybe a slight slump in the afternoon. The normal mid-afternoon slump that people think is normal because so many people have it, yeah, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and go to the candy machine, go get a cup of coffee, go get a Coke, whatever, to try to wake myself up. Who's seen that pattern in themselves, right? A lot of people, and we think it's normal, but it's not normal. It's just common. And it's common because of other factors. It could be because of what you had for lunch, which is causing a dip. It could be because, you know, you just don't have enough steam to make it through the day, that your B vitamins are low, that your digestion is low, your other nutrients. There's a lot of reasons that it could happen. But oftentimes it happens because the blood sugar goes really high at lunch and then it drops really low in the middle of the afternoon. That's one of the reasons. So there's a lot of reasons it could happen. But in this particular case, it's happening. And then at night, it's right in the middle of the range. I look at the night times a lot in people who have sleep disturbances. If you're having trouble falling asleep, we may see this higher. But if you're low all throughout the day and then normal at bedtime, that's a high for you. So you may not have a high at bedtime, but you may be having trouble falling asleep because it's like your high point of the day. You're like, okay, I finally got my energy back. What can I do, right? Let me have a book to read. Let me solve something that I've been trying to solve. And then we end up with the tired and wired phases of adrenal fatigue. And we're not going to go into all of that. We have other presentations within the library on the adrenals and how they work and adrenal fatigue and what to do about it. And if you're in Empowered Self-Care or ERC or Body Balance, you have access to all the programs that actually go in and help you to balance the adrenals. And I'll talk more about that later. Okay, so what I like about this particular test is it gives us the total 24-hour free cortisol. And in this person, the total adds up to within range, at the lower end of the range, but within range. That's what's called the free cortisol. That's what's available to the cells. if we look in this particular case, this person has low metabolized cortisol. So they're actually using a lot, but they really aren't making as much proportionally, which means you're heading downhill to an adrenal fatigue situation. So what I like about this test is it gives us not just where you are right now, but it gives us kind of, you know, the crystal ball kind of prediction into where you might be going. And then we have the DHEA production. DHEA is another hormone produced by the adrenals. A lot of people call it the anti-aging kind of hormone because it does tend to decline with age. And if we can keep those levels preserved and higher, we tend to age more gracefully. So that one's lower than the cortisol, which says to me that this person has been in some adrenal stress for a while and the DHEA levels are going down. The total produced cortisol here is going down. So even though their total is in the range, they're not really okay. We want to address this. We want to look at what can we do because we don't want to go to that downward spiral. We don't want to go to the flat line because I've seen people with flat lines down here, boom, and they can't get out of bed, right? People who have been diagnosed with chronic fatigue and they can't get off the couch. A lot of times it's related to this, right? And then we have to look at backwards from this, why, what's causing this. But this, the reason I like this test is it gives me way more information than your typical test. A lot, though, you have to be careful because a lot of practitioners who aren't really well trained in looking at these will look at this and go, oh, yeah, your total cortisol 24 hours is fine. Let's move on, right? They're not actually looking at ratios. The Western medicine tradition of training docs is to look at numbers on a page and you look at the high, low, they're not out of the range, you're good. But in functional, we look at, well, this is high and this is low. What does that mean, right? The ratio between these is off, like the total metabolized is off from the total free. What does that mean? So if ever you've had a Dutch test, I hear this all the time. Oh, I had a Dutch test done and my doctor said it was fine. I'm like, okay, let me see it. And no, it's not fine. Here's the deal, right? You're okay. You're functioning okay now, maybe a little dip in the afternoon. Maybe you're functioning fine now, but do you want to continue to function fine? We need to address some of this. So that's how we look at these. So the next one I want to look at, oh, this is just another variation of it. So I wanted to show you, remember I just said, sometimes I see flatline. Well, this isn't quite flatline, but this person is below all day long, exhausted all day long. And guess what happens at bedtime? Oh, in the range. I finally have some energy. Let me do something, right? Or I get into bed and I go, I can't fall asleep. Because with regards to the rest of the day, it's very low. And in this particular case, look, this person, the total free cortisol is super low. But look, the metabolized is high. Right? So why is the metabolized high? The body's producing it, but it's not able to use it. And that has to do with certain nutrients. And it could be related to the thyroid gland. So then we'd want to run a full thyroid panel to check this out. Okay. And the DHEA is fine over here. So it's what's going on that you're not able to utilize the cortisol. Very different way to look at it. And then I'm going to go down different pathways with the individual to find out what's actually going on. And then here's a third one. Let's see. Yeah, this one's an interesting one because really low at the baseline, really low. And then it comes up in the middle of the afternoon. So this person may get that second wind. Like, I'm fine to have a hard time even starting in the morning, but by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm good. But then I can't fall asleep till two. And I have lots of people who have problems with sleep, but we call them voluntary sleep problems because they suddenly have energy and they don't go to bed. Right. And so, yeah, and they would probably have trouble sleeping if their body's used to the cortisol being way low. So there's a lot of different ways. There's different herbs we can use to help balance the rhythm. There's different nutrients we can use, but we always look at the diet too and see what's going on with the diet. And are there things that are causing the body to feel stressed at this time of the day? Is there a food sensitivity that somebody's eating and it's causing this surge? And this particular case is different than the previous ones in that the 24 is low, but also the metabolized is low. So this person doesn't have the reserves. this person is not producing and this person is heading to complete adrenal burnout very soon if we don't get in here and address it. So I would be addressing this with some adaptogens and some herbs that are going to support them, but also looking at the lifestyle to find out what's stressing them out. And the DHEA you could see is also quite low. All right. So I just wanted to give you a few things that you can see in different patterns that you would see here in the adrenal part of this test. And then lastly, this is the last page of the test, which gives us even more information about cortisone versus cortisol. In this particular case, cortisol is the active form of cortisol is the active form. Cortisone is a slightly different molecule where it's the inactive form. And we generally have a balance between these, and there's enzymes that bring them back and forth as needed. So that's the other thing I like about this test, is it gives us information here. And so then we go into the female versus male. So we're going to go into the sex hormone piece of this. And in this particular case, I'll show you the more detailed version, but this is the full page with everything related to the female hormones. It gives us an idea of, this is a progesterone metabolism. This is androgens. Androgens are male sex hormones. Guess what, gals? You have male hormones in you, and it's required that you do. You don't want to get rid of them all. Guess what, guys? You have female hormones. If you have too much or too little, it's going to affect your functioning. And I'll show you a case where a male with too much estrogen, and talk about what we do with that in either a male or a female with too much estrogen. So in this particular case, we're looking at the progesterone metabolism, the male sex hormone metabolism, and the female. And I'm going to just zoom in on that on the next slide. So progesterone isn't measurable directly in the urine. It is measurable directly in the blood, but generally when we get it tested in the blood, they're testing the protein-bound progesterone, not the free progesterone. So you can have hormones that get bound to protein to be carried around in the body, but then don't get unbound when they get to the tissue level. So if the free hormone is low and the bound hormone is good, you're going to have symptoms of low. And if your doctor is only testing your, which is normally tested, is the bound form of it, you're going to say, oh, your hormones are fine, when they're not, because the free version of it is low, which is why I love this test. So this is, these are metabolites of progesterone. And when we look at this, this purple is actually the range for a postmenopausal woman, the normal range for a postmenopausal woman. And the stars are where a premenopausal woman should be. So if I look at this, I'm like, I hope this person's postmenopausal, because if not, they're in trouble, right? They're probably not going to get pregnant. Their periods are probably all over the map. They're not doing well, PMS, etc. So when I look at this, this woman is, her total progesterone metabolism is actually, it's actually on the very low end. So this person's in trouble either way, very low progesterone, right? So then we look at the progynidiol, the alpha progynidiol. Okay, so let's look at the next piece of this, which is the estrogen. All right, so the estrogen piece, there's three estrogens. There's three main estrogens. Sometimes we call them E1, E2, E3, estrone, estradiol, and estriol. Estrogen gets a bad rap. It causes breast cancer. It causes uterine cancer. It's actually not a really a bad guy. It's just a bad guy when it gets out of balance, right? And so the E3, which a lot of Western-trained docs ignore, is the most important one because it's protective. Right? But it's not real active in terms of, you know, fertility and all that. These guys are more active, but we need this to be in balance. And what I'm always looking for is what's called the estrogen quotient. And the estrogen quotient is that the sum of E1 and E2 is equal to or less than E3. And I don't want it to be majorly less than, then we probably have a problem because we're not having enough active estrogen, but somewhere around that, right? Give or take a little bit. And in this particular case, we have 2.25 and we have 1.2. So when we look at that ratio, we actually have double the E1 and E2 compared to E3, which means that we need more protection. And on top of that, the progesterone was low. Progesterone and E3, estriol, are very protective for women against things that are hormone-sensitive cancers, like breast cancer, or uterine cancer, et cetera, or ovarian cancer. So in this particular case, this woman she doesn't have much of these. So we're not like freaking out, like, oh my God, she's at really high risk. If she was premenopausal and had really high levels and that ratio was off, I'd be like, lots of predisposition to breast cancer. So in this particular case, we look at these three. There's ways to promote some of these that I can't really get into on this particular call because it could take like an hour to explain all it, but there's ways to actually promote the conversion, the interconversion, this particular pathway. This is related to a specific genetic marker called CYP3A4. So we'd be looking at, does this person have a genetic predisposition? Do we need to supply some things? Do we need to supply some estriol as a bioidentical hormone? And whenever bioidentical hormones are supplemented, we always have to make sure that it's two, but sometimes it's three, because usually the estrone and estradiol can produce from each other. But a lot of them are not giving enough estriol. And a lot of the hormones, I wouldn't say the bioidenticals, but a lot of docs who are gynecologists or doing this, endocrinologists, they're actually putting people on unhealthy forms. They're giving them just estradiol without looking at how much the estriol is, which, guess what, guys? It's going to make this ratio worse, which is going to increase their risk. There's a lot of docs who are implanting pellets, and the pellets are usually estradiol, no estriol. Here's the deal. If you get somebody to put a little incision in your butt and stick hormone pellets in, guess what? They're in there for 6 months. So if you find that it throws off your testing and it throws off your levels, good luck. You got to wait 6 months to get it in balance, back in balance. And this could predispose you to hormone-sensitive cancers, right? And we have one of our practitioners is a bioidentical hormone specialist. She's an MD, and she's been working in the UK for many years. And she said, I never heard of this before, right? So she's in our training and she's learning this and she starts researching it. And she realizes that what she's been doing by doing what she's told to do has been putting women at risk. Do you know how heartbreaking that can be? Like, you have this, you go into a profession because you want to help people and you realize that you're doing things that's putting them at risk. Right, so she started inheriting a pellet doctor, a hormone doctor that was doing pellets. She started inheriting this person's patients when the doctor was retiring, and her first task was she had to explain to them, like, we're going to do some different testing because I want to make sure we're not putting you at risk. Because they just come in and go, okay, refill my prescription. And she's like, I can't in good ethical conscience renew your prescription until I see your numbers. And she started to see numbers that blew her mind and scared her, like way, way out of proportion. And so now she's got this job of trying to explain to these people that the things that they've been doing for years without bad mouthing the other doctor, right, that has put them at risk. And here's the thing she can do to support them. So we really do need to look at these things very carefully. The other things, and when I talked to metabolites before, this little graph is metabolites. And there's metabolites that, when the estrogen goes through the liver pathways to detoxify, gets broken down into either 2-hydroxy, 4-hydroxy, or 16-hydroxyestrone. And then goes through the digestive tract, pulls out and gets eliminated in your stool and your bile. And we're good, right? Except when these metabolites get too high. In this particular case, I'm not concerned about the 4-hydroxy because it's not really out of range. So the 4-hydroxy is the most dangerous. It puts people at risk for breast cancer, for hormone-sensitive cancers. If this guy's elevated, and you also have some liver detoxification genetic SNPs that make it hard for you to detoxify this, you're at way higher risk of those cancers. So it's a really good test for people to do. As we get older, but also if you've had any kind of menstrual irregularities, any kinds of, you know, crazy cycles, infertility, difficulty getting pregnant, loss of libido, it's a good idea to take a look at this test and at least spot check it to make sure that you're not all out of balance. So the 4 is the most dangerous. The 16 is the second most dangerous, but it's also got a double-edged sword. It's the metabolite of the estrogen that protects against osteoporosis. So we hear that as we age and the estrogen levels go down in menopause, that we're at higher risk of osteoporosis. It's because of lower levels of this one, right? So in this particular case, we look at the ratios here. And the two, the ratio is 60 to 80, she's at 82. 2 is more protective, not really concerned, except that that means that the 16 is 8.5 instead of 13 to 30. So this person may be at higher risk for osteoporosis. So while we're trying to get all these hormones in balance, we also want to talk about what can she do to protect herself from osteoporosis, right? How can she upregulate her nutrition, her diet, et cetera? You know, and a lot of times I'll put people on like a bone balancing elixir, you know, that has like, or tea that has nettles and horsetail and alfalfa and other things that help promote bone growth. And put them on specific, you know, make it with almonds in there, sesame seeds, foods that are higher in calcium and boron. And in the Empowered Health, Empowered Self-Care Lab, you've got a whole section on eating for bone health. So if ever you get one of these tests done, you go, oh my gosh, I'm at risk, you can go and watch that video. And I think anybody over 50 should actually be watching that video and reading that document, because it's giving you protective things, preventative things that you can be doing now, and good foods and recipes to support your healthy bones. Okay, so so that's that. So this particular person, you know, we addressed that 16, we addressed that with bone support. And this person we did not address with estriol supplementation. She has a prior history of breast cancer. And even though from my research, I believe that estriol is not going to predispose back to breast cancer, especially with the other stuff, I'm not in a position where I wanted to take that chance. Like, so if she was to consult with her doctor, surgeon, whatever, and they were say, yeah, estriol's fine, that's one thing, but I couldn't say that. So it's the kind of thing where most of the medical literature says, don't give estrogen to anybody that ever had breast cancer. In this particular case, it may be beneficial, but I, you know, not taking that risk. So that's that. And then it shows some things related to methylation. And you'll see this little tiny note at the bottom that says, if the there's detox, if not detoxified, the 4-OH can cause DNA damage. And DNA damage is one of the causes of cancer. So we do have to make sure. Now, in this particular case, it was low enough that I wasn't concerned about it. So I know this is a lot. But I think it's important for you to see the value of a test. And you're going to really see the value if you decide after this, like, oh, I want that test, that you'll see the value once you get your own numbers and have an action plan that's very customized for you. All right. So this is a premenopausal woman. All right. So we'll see some very different things. We see her progesterone levels are a little higher. This was an earlier test, so they rearranged it. Her progesterone levels are in a good range. They're on the higher side. Her testosterone, her DHEA is fine, but her testosterone tends to be a little low. And then we look at her estrogen and it's off the charts, right? The first E1 is way off the charts high. So I'll show you this up close in the next one. All right. Oops, what happened? Oh, I didn't separate that one? Nope, I didn't. Okay. We'll just try to zoom in on this. I don't know if I can zoom in on it with Zoom. But basically, her estrogen is super high here, the E1, but look at E2. I mean, E3. Look how low that is, right? So if we look at 31 plus 3, that's 34.6 compared to 3, that's 10 times when it should be one time or less. this person is at risk. We need to get these levels down. So in this particular person, I looked at like cruciferous vegetables and broccoli sprouts and DIM, diindolmethane, which helps to bring these things down, calcium D-glucarate. And so her program is very different than the previous person's program, right? And this would be very different if somebody comes in and they're, you know, they're having some issues with menstrual stuff and fertility and their estrogens are super low, right? Even if they're the same age, right? In this particular case, fortunately, this is what it should look like. This is what the ratio should look like. This is what hers looked like. So her four was great. It was fine. So it was very fortunate that she wasn't converting all that to four. But the two, the 16 was a little on the low side, right? So she also, even though she was 36 or 37 years old, as opposed to, you know, 66, work on those bones, work on that bone strengthening stuff now. Right. And then we did other stuff and we did put her on some of those supplements and all. Fortunately, she was here because she went into it. She'd been changing her diet for about a year before this happened. She wasn't on the old standard American diet, which would, you know, put people at a lot of risk. And again, we look at methylation. How good is the methylation? Hers was very low. Now, this particular person had MTHFR and MTRR SNPs in the genes. So she had the worst form of the MTHFR. She had it. So she's not methylating well. So we needed to support her with nutrients and foods that support methylation. So I can go on for hours like this. And this is what I do with the practitioners because I really like to geek out, but we don't have all hours to do. And plus, you know, you'll soon be glazed over if I start to go too deep. This is a female test cycle mapping. So if someone's saying, I'm having irregular periods, I'm having trouble getting pregnant, and I want to get pregnant, we'll generally run the cycle mapping, and the cycle mapping will tell us how do your estrogens and progesterones fare throughout the month compared to what they should be, and is there a problem with what we call a luteal phase defect, which would could cause infertility. So if you're in that range, we would do tests like that with those particular conditions. But you see, I'm not doing all of these tests on everybody. I'm just using what, you know, you figure out to go through that. So that's the female. I wanted to show you a male test because I want you to see a little bit of the difference, but also to see, here's the deal for men, whether it's for you, I didn't see how many males we had on here. I think it's predominantly females, but you all have men in your life, fathers, sons, partners, friends. And it's really important to understand this because a lot of guys are like, well, you know, I'm 55, I'm 60, and my sex drive's gone down, and I'm going to go get tested, and I'm going to get on testosterone. And so, you know, a lot of times they do have low testosterone. You look at the blood and it's low. But the reason it's low could be that they're converting all that testosterone into estrogen. And if they just go to the doc and see their blood level of testosterone low and take testosterone, guess what? It's going to get converted to estrogen unless they fix the problem of the testosterone converting to estrogen. And that's related to an enzyme called aromatase. And I see this a lot. And if you ever see men, you know, they're a little older and they're walking around with little man boobs. They call them moobs, you know. They just have these little like pouching. Instead of having that nice sleek male physique, they're starting to get boobs. And it's because a lot of them are converting the testosterone to estrogen. A lot of women are too. A lot of it has to do with environmental factors, insulin resistance, specific nutrient imbalances. So it's super important if you're a male, before you just go and get tested in your blood and start on testosterone, do a test like this so you don't get yourself in trouble. And then go, well, men can't get breast cancer. Yes, they can. In fact, one of our workers last year, her father had surgery for breast cancer. It's rare, but it happens when there's too much estrogen. And when we look at our environment, we have xenoestrogens in the environment. We have toxic chemicals, PCBs, the plastic bottles. There's all sorts of stuff, dental fillings. So there's all sorts of toxic estrogens we're exposed to. And if you add that to a male, who's not aromatasing properly, you're going to get in trouble if you give them estrogen. I mean, yeah, if you give them testosterone, right? So just warn, if you have any loved ones that are talking about getting on testosterone, make sure they get a Dutch test before they do. So in this particular case, you know, he complained about low testosterone and it was low on his blood. And sure enough, yeah, your testosterone's super low. Look how low it is, right? It's 7. The DHEA is low. All the androgens are low. So this guy's having trouble with his male parts, right? But look what's happening. They're all getting converted into estrogen, except for the good estrogen, right? So he's got very high levels of estrogen, and he shouldn't have those high levels of estrogen. He's a guy, for God's sake, right? So we went and I said, look, we can get testosterone and you can go to your doctor and get testosterone once we get this pathway fixed. And so we worked with him and I put him on some herbs and things that were aromatase inhibitors, and it was coming down slowly. And then he went and got his third test done. He was in a group program, so I didn't see him all the time. He came in with his test and I'm like, what the hell happened? His estrogens had shot way up, even higher than they started from. I was getting frustrated, and I got testosterone. I supplemented testosterone. Put him into a dangerous range, right? He was too frustrated, because it takes time. One of my colleagues said yesterday, you know, you can do something slow now and have a fast, slow now, fast later, fast now, slow later. So if you get the results now, like that fast, like, okay, I'm going to get this testosterone up, it's going to hurt you later because it's putting you at risk. It's going to slow you down later because it's putting you at risk of the cancers and other things. But also, you take testosterone to get your sex drive back. You're not going to get your sex drive back if you're a male and you have higher estrogen, right? It just doesn't work that way. Anyway, so that's what I wanted to show you in this case. And look at his 4-hydroxy. This is what really freaked me out. His 4 is way off the charts, way off the charts. Okay. It's way high. He should not be that high. He should not be that high. Okay. So we'll talk a little bit more about what you can do about these things. I did have detail on this, right? So this was the top part, you know, the testosterone, DHEA, progesterone's low. So all the things that protect people from the high estrogens, the estriol and the progesterone, his were all low, but he had the other estrogens high. And then that's the more detailed version of it, right? So his 4 was way off the charts high. This is one more thing I want to share with you that's on the Dutch test. There's a test called the organic acid test, and it has pages and pages and pages of metabolites of various processes in your body, so you get a really good sense of what's happening biochemically. The Dutch test just started about a year and a half ago, I think, maybe 2 years ago, added these organic acids, just specific ones to give you an idea of how things are functioning. That kind of relate to the rest of the test. So you have this B12 marker. In this particular case, it's above range, meaning your B12 is low. When methylmalonic acid, which is a toxin that affects the central nervous system, gets elevated, it means your B12 is low. This person, these B6 marker was fine on this person, but if it was high or low, it could be, but mostly high, it actually means that the B6 is low, because these are what happens in metabolic pathways. Glutathione, same thing. With glutathione, it could be deficient if it's high or low. In this particular person, it was okay. But you see the value of knowing these things, right? Not just guessing. B6 is super important for all of your hormone pathways. Super important. That's why they test it. B12 is important for methylation, which is important for hormone balance, which is why they test it. And glutathione is just plain good, you know, antioxidant that helps to protect us. And so they measure that. Then they look at some of the neurotransmitter markers. And these would give you an idea if there's something off in one of the neurotransmitters, which affects brain health, depression, serotonin, you know, anxiety, And the reason this is tested as part of the Dutch test is because so many people have symptoms related to depression and anxiety related to the hormones imbalance. We want to know, is this just related to the hormones, or are there also neurotransmitter issues? Melatonin, right? We look at the pattern. So we look at sleep. And so is the sleep a problem because of low melatonin, or is the sleep a problem because of issues with cortisol being too high at night? This kind of helps us to differentiate that. And then this is oxidative stress. And so oxidative stress can affect everything. So these are the organic acids that are tested within this. And so I get information, or the coaches, you know, who I've trained, get information about the person when they do this test. Okay, this is, this is enough. This is just to end with a bang and go, this is what's really happening. This is all the biochemical pathways that are reported on this test. And guess what? I use this and I look at, okay, and what makes this get higher? Why is this metabolite higher? Because I don't have all this stuff memorized, because there's, you know, think about permutations and combinations when we were in high school and learned all those crazy mathematical things. Like if you take two things and there's all different, you know, there's just a limited number of variations of the combinations you can do with that. You know, you take these 16 markers, there's thousands of them, right? And so the way I can look at this is, okay, this is high. What are some of the nutrients that might be missing? What are some of the herbs that might help? So this chart actually is helpful. It's probably not helpful for you when you get your test back, because it'll go like, ugh. Okay. So what do we do with this test result? I'll just give you a quick look. If the adrenals are out of balance, we need to manage the stress and support your adrenals, right? If you're in Empowered Self-Care Lab, you have access to a lot of stuff. You have access to eating for adrenal health in the nutrition part. You have access to our adrenal stress program to go through. So when you get testing done, you have your resources to go and study what's specific to you. If you're in Vital, and you're not, and Body Balance has access to as well, most of that, not all of it. But if you're in Vital and you don't have access to all of that and you want to upgrade, go to empoweredselfcarelab.com. And I think there's a coupon to get credit because you're in Vital. Let me see. I asked my person. Let's see what she said. Okay, so she said, Okay, here we go. Yeah, so if you are in Vital and you want to join us, you know, and upgrade into Empowered Self-Care, where you get access to all of our programs, and a lot of you are already in Empowered Self-Care, I know, then there's a coupon to upgrade. It's either Lab 100 or 1000 Lab. And that will upgrade you for a discount. Okay, so 100 lab or lab 100, lab 1000, no, lab 100 or 1000 lab. And that's the coupon code if you go there, and you can get upgraded as part of Vital. Okay, so let's see, the next piece is, so you wanna manage and support the adrenals. And that means, you know, various and sundry forms of stress management, which we have a whole section of that in Empowered, and also adaptogens and herbs and foods that support that. We're looking at aromatase inhibitors. There's a lot here, right? There's a lot of really good just foods. So if your estrogens are high and you want to bring them down, or your estrogen's not necessarily high, but your testosterone's low because it's being converted to estrogen, and even though the estrogen is normal. And in men, for sure, we look at these things like mushrooms and nettles and celery and olives and crucifers and parsley. And it's not just one food, it's a combination. And it doesn't mean you have to eat every one of these every day, but we're going to increase the levels. And also some specific nutrients, and like quercetin and vitamin C and zinc and fiber and flax seeds and soy isoflavones. We got to be careful with soy. Probably, you know, fermented soy like miso or natto are good forms, and grapefruit seed, grape seed extract. And I put a couple of articles, you'll have access to these slides. I put a couple of articles where, if you want to really get geeky and go into it, that article, the on Medline article, has got like pages and pages of all the studies they've done with these various compounds. And then this one is from, Oh, Institute of Functional Medicine has a nice little chart that you can download there. Okay. You also have to support methylation. And, you know, folate is a nutrient that gets impaired when methylation is impaired, especially if we have the MTHFR SNPs in our genes. So lots of green leafy vegetables that contain high levels of folate and making sure your B12 levels are good. We have to look at the liver because the liver just does all this work with keeping our hormones balanced, eliminating estrogen, the glucagon and insulin, thyroid conversion, stress, storing of our nutrients, storing of glycogen, cholesterol and fat metabolism. So the liver is very important for helping you to get this in balance. So you want to support sufficient detoxification. And in the documents on Empowered Self-Care, we also have some really nice, you know, stuff on liver detoxification. There's a 7-day green cleanse that has lists of foods that support detoxification. So starting to get those things on a regular basis. And of course, reducing the toxic load, you know, not using crazy air fresheners and all that. And we have a whole section on cleaning up your environment. And then it's really, really, really important that we balance all of our, what I call the body freedom pillars. And here's why I call it that. Freedom is an important value for me. I don't want to be encumbered by my body. I want to be able to do what I want when I want to do it. I want to have my brain working properly. I want to have the energy to do it. I don't want to be doubled over in pain or joint pain or stiffness. I want to be able to do what I want to do. And so the way I get that is by balancing these particular aspects of life, having fun every day. Really, I seriously mean that. Take time, at least 5 minutes a day, because what it does biochemically for your body is so important. And we're just serious, studious people who want to do the right things, and we forget about having fun. So even 5 minutes a day of fun, rest, you know, we have to get rest, restful sleep. Right? We have to be sleeping, exercise, moving, even if you're just standing in your living room dancing to a video. Ideally, you combine a lot of this stuff. You get outdoors, you get your vitamin D in the sunshine. But face it, if you live in the Midwest in January, you're not getting a lot of outdoor time where your skin's exposed to the sun, right? So you do it when you can. And you get outdoors and you do it when you can't. I have all kinds of exercise equipment in the house, which I don't use very much during the summer, quite frankly. But during the winter, I'm doing it with the weights and the bands and the balls and all that kind of stuff. So we got to move. Diet is critical. And within Empowered Self-Care, we also have the nutrition. We call it the Body Freedom Nutrition Lab. You have access to the entirety of that, which is loaded with everything you need to really get your diet in order. Right? And look at that and take some of the assessments and figure it out. Outlook and mindfulness. Like, do you have a positive outlook? Are you looking forward to something out there? Is there a reason for you to choose salad over chocolate cake? Right? Chocolate cake gives you instant pleasure. Salad, depends on the dressing, depends on what's in there. But the long term is that the chocolate cake is depleting, you know, your anti-inflammatory nutrients, and it's causing pain, it's causing imbalances, and let's just skip the chocolate cake or learn to make chocolate cake the way I teach it in the library you have. We have tons of places where you can learn how to make a really good, healthy chocolate cake. That you sneak in some adrenal support herbs, yeah, sneak in some detoxification and methylation support, and you have this cake that you can eat and know that you're going to be healthy. So, but when you make that decision, for me, I chocolate is really one of my downfalls, and Reese's peanut butter cups, I used to eat them like crazy. M&Ms, I love it, chocolate ice cream, but now I make chocolate ice cream using my protein powder and my hemp seeds, and I throw some cordyceps and medicinal mushrooms in there, and, you know, sweeten it with stevia, and now I can sit there, and zucchini, I put zucchini in there, and I can sit there. So you guys have this. If you go to the nutrition lab, on the page it says keto friendly ice cream recipes. So you can let go of your favorites without letting go of your favorites. Yeah, we'll take a little adjustment, right? But you can actually still enjoy food while nourishing your body. And then mindfulness everyday practices, whether it's 5 minutes of meditation, whether it's yoga, tai chi, something that gets you into that mode where you're letting go of all the junk and the fear that abounds us and that you fall into your self-healing capacities. And every day you do this. So when you're looking back at the Dutch, there's this options. I put down the bottom, the link, and you can see the full PDF of this, the various options for the different tests. The one I usually do is the Dutch Plus. You can do just the sex hormones, just the adrenals. The complete is what I usually do, is the Dutch complete. Now, the Dutch Plus has some extra stuff, which we didn't have time to talk about. I don't usually use it unless I have a particular, you know, issue that I've seen some previous tests with people and I want to see some more details on it. Cycle mapping, we talked about. That's the one for, you know, if you're past menopause, you don't need that one. And then the cycle mapping plus. So those are only for premenopausal women in certain situations. Okay. So if you're in one of our programs, which if you're on this call, you are, you have access to this page, unstoppablehealthcommunity.com/lab testing. When you go to that page, up at the top, it'll say shop by lab. You click on Precision Analytical, and then you'll see the choices we have, and you can order your Dutch test there. Or you can just go to Precision Analytical's website and test it. Last I looked, we get a discount from them, so we passed on that discount to you, or most of that discount we have to pay for our processing. But it was like $100 higher on their site than ordering it from us. So I don't care where you order it from. It's not a revenue stream for me. It's just a convenience and a courtesy that we offer it for you guys to make it easier for you to get your testing done. And that's that. That's the story. So what I'm going to do is I stopped my screen share. And stop share. And what I'm going to do is stop the recording and start a new recording for just the Q&A. I'm going to say stop, yes.